Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're on the book of Leviticus now, and we're at chapter 11. Let's ask the Lord to bless, to anoint chapter 11. Holy Father God, we thank and praise your holy name that you have shown us the difference between laity and clergy. There's a lot of people in this church, Lord, that you've called to be laity, and a lot of us, and it's just very few of us, I reckon, primarily myself, that you've called to be the clergy. The clergy is the, I'm saying this, Lord, I know you know this, but the clergy is prophets, teachers, preachers, pastors, evangelists, and so on. And, Lord, you know that there are some in this church that have called themselves to be pastors and are leading a lot of people astray. And they feel that they have arrived, that they are to be leaders or clergy rather than laity. And these people, a lot of them, are not even good laity. They're not even good followers. And Lord, I pray that you'll impress this on these people, that they'll humble themselves and not assume a position in you that they choose, that they keep their place. Because so many that have done this, Lord, have been had to be put out of the church. And they thought that they were teachers, and they were teaching people wrong. And you know, Lord, that they would call me and say, I told so-and-so this, or I told so-and-so that. Was that the right thing? Now, if they were of you, Lord, they wouldn't have to ask if it was the right thing. And, Lord, they really don't respect your property. There's a lot of people that are even driving different machines, such as forklifts, and they don't know how to drive them. They have huge loads that they can't see around, and they haven't learned that you have to back up with forklifts when you have a load too big to see when you're driving forward. And a lot of the people are so simple-minded that they don't think it's important to be instructed into things, how to do things right. And that's why they destroy so much of your property, Lord. And you have made every little detail of your tabernacle and the things that are yours. You've made it very clear that everything, all the substance of the Lord is very important. And some people just say, well, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear something more spiritual, and they don't realize that this is spiritual. And Lord, you know, I'm afraid that some of them are going to lose their souls, that you're going to punish, take some of them out, kill them for just making up their own minds as what's right and wrong. Lord, you even make provisions in your word, detailed provisions as to things that are food and the things that are not food. Things that are clean for people to eat and things that are not unclean for them to not eat. And that's, Lord, what this chapter is, the chapter 11 in Leviticus, is about the clean and unclean things that we're supposed to eat. There's a difference between clergy and laity, clean and unclean. People that are called of the God and chosen of the Lord, and people that are just called to be saved, to be under the ministry here. But they've taken it upon themselves to go out and just destroy souls. And Lord, and that they find no importance on bumping into posts in the our warehouses and everything, to where the roof is going to cave in. And just recently I've had bids of $50,000 to $100,000 to repair these posts, and they just still keep banging into them. Lord, I've taken them as you have instructed me. I've taken them off of driving forklifts. And I pray that the people in the church will be men and women, watchmen of the Lord, that they'll report any people that do such a thing as that. Because if they do, they say, well, we just tapped it, or so on and so forth like this. They don't know how to drive. And Lord, you've also instructed me to take them off of driving motor vehicles and trucks and all these different other things if they do that. And it's important enough for you to be anointing me with these words now to tell them that. And some people that don't work in the warehouse, that don't drive forklifts, they just think it's no importance. It's just a waste of time because they want to just go busy and read. It just doesn't mean anything to them at all. But the everything, the Lord has called us, you've called us, Father, to not just read the Scriptures, but to be mindful of everything that you say and do it. A lot of people think that you've called people into the ministry and that you'll do all the work. But Lord, you make it quite clear that after you've called these people into the priesthood, that there's a responsibility and accountability. Every one of these people, if they didn't give the right kind of fire, you killed them. You sent fire down from heaven and made them accountable for it. So we can't just be saved and not do anything. These scriptures regarding to the priesthood here show us that you called them as an entire nation, and then you separated the clergy from the laity. There's 11 tribes that are just laity. And the tribe of the Levites are the clergy. And anyone that would even approach doing anything that was clergy would be destroyed. They'd be murdered. You'd kill them. And so, Lord, let everybody know that this is carried over into the new scriptures, into the New Testament, that there's for the clergy that you've called, and there's very few. I would say Buster is called into the clergy. And he has a responsibility, that he loves the responsibility, and he stands accountable, and he's very careful as to what he does. He comes over here at night sometimes, and he calls on the phone all the time and wants to know if this is right or if this is wrong. There is an accountability and a responsibility that goes with being called by the Lord. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
When we are called into the ministry, it's for that he wants us to take the responsibility of doing what he says. And if we don't, we're accountable for it before God. Just like Aaron's first two sons that got killed, the firstborn and the other one. The Lord killed them right there as they were doing what they thought was their job, but it wasn't their job. So not only are we called into a responsibility, but we have to do the responsibility the correct way. Otherwise, we're going to be accountable before the Lord. And a lot of people are wondering, they've got heart trouble, and different things are happening to their bodies and so on. If there's something happening to my body, like I got sugar diabetes, it was because I was disobedient to the Lord. He said, you'll live 20 years longer if you eat correctly, and if you work your body. Otherwise, you'll live 40 years longer, 20 years more if you eat right, and 20 years more if you exercise. So again, this is, Lord, we ask that you anoint chapter 11. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is Leviticus chapter 11.
Ceremonially clean and unclean animals. That means animals that cannot be offered as sacrifices and animals that can be. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth.
And the rest of them are not food, and they're not to be eaten. Okay, then what?
Verse 3, Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Verse 4, Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. Verse 5, And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. Verse 6, And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you.
Verse... Who is that, the coney?
The hare.
Yeah, that's right. And then what else?
Verse 7, And the swine, Though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you.
Right, these are all unclean animals. They're scavengers. They eat just anything that you put in front of them. They'll even eat their own babies. They eat dung. So do dogs and cats. They're unclean. And you're not. I see people letting them lick their faces and everything, and because they think they're so cute and everything. And I've even seen people playing with pigs, and I've seen people in my life that had pigs in their house. Even after they know that the Lord says that they're unclean. And so that makes them pigs. They want to live with dogs and pigs. That means they are dogs. I don't want to live with dogs, cats, pigs, or anything in my house because it makes the house stink and they're unclean. How do I know? God said so right here. Amen?
Amen.
And I sure don't want to eat any of those things. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 8, of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you.
Before I was a Christian, I ate pork, I ate ham, and when I saw these things, that they were an abomination, I didn't want to eat them anymore. Because pig of itself doesn't taste good. They have to pickle it or put sugar cure on it to make it taste good. And I found out that turkey bacon and turkey ham and all these things taste, and turkey pastrami and all these things taste just as good as, or even better to me, than pork. And it's not unhealthy for you because what I'm eating now is food rather than unclean animals, unclean things that are scavengers, things that are never meant to be eaten. Go ahead then.
Verse 9, these shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat.
Now, the Lord is not going to send Gentiles to hell because they eat these things in the New Testament. The Lord says, if you pray over them, well, you know, you're not going to go to hell for it. But I believe the clergy knows better, all right? God knows that Gentiles are, you know, he's never even made any provisions as to that they shouldn't eat things torn or things that die of themselves. They've got some kind of a disease and they die of themselves. And the Lord stated that the Jews can't have them because they're a different caliber of person. They're God's chosen people. And the Christian. And they shouldn't eat them because we're the temple of the Lord and the Lord hates it. And so I don't use that anymore. All right? And some people think that when the sheet came down before Peter, all these unclean beasts and everything, that was symbolic of Gentile nations. He says, these are unclean. These are unclean. He says, take and eat. That means take and partake in winning their souls. Amen?
Amen?
Eat these things that I'm telling you, the Lord said, because you're supposed to eat the Word of God and drink the Spirit of the Lord, the blood of Jesus. And he was saying, go ahead and preach the gospel to them. But they're unclean. Don't call anything unclean, the Lord says, that I say is now clean. It's okay to witness to them, all right?
Yes.
Go ahead now.
Verse 10, and all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you.
Abomination means a very, very bad sin. Okay? And what?
Verse 11, they shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Translation, verse 1 through 11, ceremonially clean and unclean animals, that means animals that cannot be offered as sacrifices and animals that can be. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 2, give the following instructions to the Israelites, the animals you may use for food. Verse 3, include those that have completely divided hoofs and chew the cud. Verse 4, you may not, however, eat the animals named here, because they either have split hooves or chew the cud, but not both. The camel may not be eaten, for though it chews the cud, it does not have split hooves.
Who could ever imagine to have a camel sandwich? I mean, it's just horrible, you know? Then what else?
Bracket. I'd like to say at this time that it's not just telling about animals that can be ceremonially used, but these are animals that can be used for food and those that cannot be used for food to eat. That means those other animals are not food. If God said they're not food, then they never will be. End bracket. Verse 5. The same is true of the rock badger.
Now you see, you could use them as food, but you'll have to suffer the consequences. A lot of people are dying of heart disease. They've got gout. They've got all kinds of different diseases, and they wonder why. It's because they're eating scavengers. It's like God put scavengers on the earth here to be like vacuum cleaners. If you want to eat vacuum cleaners, then you can. But to me, it's very distasteful to think of anything like that. A vacuum cleaner cleans the rug out, and I don't want to eat the vacuum cleaner. I'd rather eat the things that the vacuum cleaner is pulling out than I would the vacuum cleaner. Amen?
Amen?
Because maybe you drop a little, you know, some shrapnel off your sandwich on the floor, and I'd rather eat that than the vacuum cleaner. Amen?
Amen.
Just so it's good, you know, like part of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
But I'm not about to eat a vacuum cleaner, a vulture sandwich, or a buzzard, or a duck, or a goose. People say, you mean ducks and goose? No, because they don't have gizzards in them. And they got web feet. And they're strange, you know? It's not right for you. And they're too greasy and fat. And the Lord says, don't eat the fat. Amen?
Amen.
And on top of that, they're awkward. What else?
Verse 6, and the hare, bracket, which is a rabbit, and bracket, so they also may never be eaten, bracket, because it's a rodent, like a mouse or a rat.
Yeah, so if you want to eat them, you can, and you probably won't go to hell for it, but you're going to get sick. Because they don't have a good diet themselves. You can take shrimp, crabs, lobster, and you pull up dead bodies from the ocean floor and you'll see that there's shrimp, lobster, crabs, and oysters hanging on to them because they eat. They clean up the ocean floor. If you want to eat that, those abominations are what they eat. And what they're eating, they're composed of dead human bodies. And so, to speak, you're, by proxy, a cannibal. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
When the Lord says never, that means never. End bracket. Verse 7, and the pig may not be eaten, for it has split hoofs, it does not chew the cud. Verse 8, you may not eat the meat of these animals or touch their dead bodies. They are ceremonially also unclean for you. Verse 9. As for marine animals, you may eat whatever has both fins and scales, whether taken from fresh water or salt water.
So halibut is good, salmon is good, trout is good, bass. These things are good, but suckers are not, or catfish. I'm sure this is going to get on a lot of the toes of the people in the South. But, you know, if I'm getting on your toes, just pray for your toes. You know, the Lord will heal them. Okay? That is if you have faith. Okay, then what else?
Verse 10. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. You are to detest them.
Right, sharks have fins, but they don't have scales. They're slick and slimy. Swordfish the same way. And it could go on for hours, you know, the different ones, but I'm not going to do that. You just have to look at the fish yourself. Catfish have fins but no scales. You see all these catfish places out here? I know I'm stomping on your toes, but Father, heal their toes in Jesus' name. All right, what else?
Verse 11, and they will always be forbidden to eat. Bracket, that means always, and bracket. You must never eat their meat or even touch their dead bodies. King James Version, verse 12. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. Verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey.
Do you ever go to a restaurant and see eagle on the menu? Thank God, you know. Okay, then what else?
Verse 14. And the vulture and the kite after his kind.
Or a vulture sandwich or a bat sandwich. Or a roasted bat. Or cormorant or bittern. Down south here you do see frogs. You know, that's an abomination too. Really bad. Okay, then what else?
Verse 15. Every raven after his kind. Verse 16. And the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo.
Or what about a cuckoo sandwich? Or an owl or a hoot owl sandwich? I mean, doesn't it make you sick to your stomach?
Yeah.
Heavy on the mayo. All right, then what?
And the hawk after his kind.
A hawk sandwich. My God, people eat straight awful stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
Before I was saved, I was the same way. I mean, I didn't know. But when you know, for God's sake, if you want to be healthy, stay away from that stuff, all right? I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell for it, but, you know, there's a difference between clergy, I mean, the actual preachers, and the laity, that's the congregation. And there's a huge difference between the clergy, the congregation, and those that are lost out in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So God makes a difference. He doesn't say everyone is equal. Even after they get saved, they're not equal. God made a difference between Moses and Aaron, the Levites, the clergy, and the rest of the congregation. Okay, so keep your place, boy. Keep your place, girl. All right? Humble yourself. Do what the Lord says so that he can bless you. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people are diseased and they don't know why. I'm telling you why. From the Word of God. Then what?
Verse 17. And the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl.
One great owl sandwich coming up. Okay, what else? You want the original or crispy? All right, then what?
Verse 18. And the swan and the pelican and the gear eagle. Verse 19. And the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat.
Okay. Then what?
Verse 20. All fowls that creep, going upon all four, shall be an abomination unto you.
Like a dog, a cat, or even a monkey, because it has paws. In the Philippines, they eat lots of monkey, I hear. I've never been there or anything, but they have these little delicacies. They have a hole in the middle of the table, and they put the monkey's head there, and then you just hit it real hard with the spoon, a soup spoon, and kill it, and they take the monkey's brains out and saute him, and then take his little arms and legs and whatever, you know, if you want them boiled, stewed. I mean, you know, some people's kids. All right, what else?
Verse 21. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth.
Yeah, you can't eat anything that leaps. Okay, what else?
Verse 22. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind.
Even these, you know, I would find it very hard to work up an appetite for grasshoppers and locusts and things like that. But if you had to, you know at least that you're getting something that the Lord says is clean. Amen?
Amen.
Worst comes to worst. Okay, what else?
And the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind.
Okay, beetles are all right. Grasshoppers, all right, what else?
Verse 23, but all other flying, creeping things, which have 4 feet, shall be an abomination unto you. Translation, verse 12 through 23. I repeat, any marine animal that does not have both fins and scales is strictly forbidden to you. Verse 13. These are the birds you must never eat, because they are detestable for you. The eagle, the vulture, the osprey. 14. The buzzard.
The osprey is the ostrich. Okay, in case you don't know. Then what else?
Verse 14, the buzzard, kites of all kinds. Verse 15, ravens of all kinds. Verse 16, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, hawks of all kinds. Verse 17, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl. Verse 18, the white owl, the pelican, the carrion vulture.
See, ravens of all kinds covers bluebirds, robins, cardinals, sparrows, canaries, all that. You can't, parrots, you can't eat them. Okay, what else?
Verse 19, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. Verse 20, you are to consider detestable all swarming insects that walk along the ground. Verse 21, however...
Now you see in these gourmet shops, chocolate-covered ants, and chocolate-covered bumblebees and things like that. I mean, you may think you're high class, you know, to be eating that sort of stuff, but it's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, whether they're chocolate-coated or just plain. Okay, what else?
Verse 21, however, there are some exceptions that you may eat. These include insects that jump with their hind legs. Verse 22, locusts of all varieties, crickets, bald locusts, and grasshoppers.
See, this is John the Baptist used to eat locusts and wild honey. Amen?
Amen.
So it was okay for him. All right, and then what else?
All these may be eaten. Verse 23, but you are to consider detestable all other swarming insects that walk or crawl. King James Version, verse 24. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. Verse 25, and whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. Verse 26.
Now, most people today, they don't care whether they die early or not, because they just see, they look into this world and they see that there doesn't seem to be anything to live for. But if they only knew that there's an eternity, one side of the eternity, you don't want to live for that. So it shows that you have to be concerned about it. Yeah, the Lord has called you to, and you're accountable for the way you live. And there's two places to go, either heaven or hell. And so if you are unconcerned about whether you live or die, and a lot of people just think they're going to be heroes and they join up into the armed forces to go over there, and they don't care whether they get killed or not, because they may think that there's no hereafter. But there is. There's a heaven and a hell. And if the Spirit of the Lord is not in you, then you're going to hell in the lake of fire. But, you know, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you and you start reading this Bible and you start learning that we are accountable, there's that we have been called to into the service of the Lord, and we're accountable if we don't go. And the priests show us that. There's responsibility, things that we have to do, and there's accountability if we don't do them. It's a big responsibility. And these people that are preaching to you that we don't have to do any of the works, we're not saved by works. Well, either were the Levites or the Jews. They were not saved by their own works. They were saved by the Lord. But then after he called them into the ministry, he gave them responsibility. And he also made them accountable if they didn't fulfill their responsibility. Can't you see that in these Old Testament scriptures?
Yes.
It's the same way in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, they had responsibility. If you're going to tie something to the Lord, don't lie to the Holy Spirit and say that you've tied some of it, because all the rest of the people in the congregation gave everything that they had. And then Ananias and Sapphira didn't. They held some back. And they made it look as though they had fulfilled their responsibility of tithing everything unto the Lord, and that the Lord would take care of them from then on, even better than they could have themselves. And so the Lord held them accountable for lying to the Holy Spirit, and he killed them right on the spot. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so all this follows through into the New Testament. So there's a responsibility with the ministry. You're not called in here to just sit around and joke and play games and just do nothing or just do whatever you please. No, there's a structure. In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, it tells us that the 12 tribes, Levites tribes, you don't number them. They later numbered them for another reason. But they were not numbered. They were the center of all the activity of the other tribes. So three tribes lived on the east side of the... Whenever they'd set up camp, they put the Levites in the middle, because that's where the tabernacle was. Then they'd put three tribes on the east, where the sun comes up, and then three tribes on the west, and three on the north. And then Moses and Aaron, the Levites, would set up on the other side. Would be in the middle of the congregation, and all the Levites would camp out on the other side. But the priests of the tabernacle would be inside in the middle. Okay, so, and this is the way God had the people of Moses and Aaron count all the men from 20 years on up for warriors to fight. When they go into the promised land, they were to fight and kill the Canaanites, which were the blacks, the Pezerites, the Amorites, and so on and so forth, because they were into horrible sex deviations and things like that. And the Lord detests that. And so he's putting together an army and the structure of them, how they would march into battle. So three tribes would be in the front, three tribes in right after them, and then the Levites in the center, because the tabernacle would be in the center, because that everything in the world, the ministry is supposed to be the center of everybody's concentration. And the clergy is supposed to be in the center. Then comes the clergy. Then comes three tribes after the clergy and three tribes after that. And that is the way they were to march into battle. And if they did that, if they made the clergy the center of all the activity, the tabernacle, if they honored the tabernacle and the way that the Lord structured their ability, their fighting men to fight and march into the Holy Land, well, then there wouldn't be any losses in battle. But if any of them were not doing exactly that, they would be killed. And so there's a difference between the other tribes and the Levites, or the priesthood. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Aaron and Moses, that was the priesthood. And the direct descendants of Aaron and Moses were the ones that were the center, that had responsibility. Each tribe had a certain responsibility of carrying certain parts of the tabernacle. When they were going across the desert, some would carry the poles, and their responsibility was to keep them. And another tribe would be have to take charge of the Ark of the Covenant and all the different utensils in the inside, or the different parts, like the lampstands and the table and the showbread and all these other different things inside the temple. Then another one would take care of the tent staves and the pegs and the ropes or the cords that would hold them down. And another would take care of the different walls, which are made out of beavers, or the ceilings that was made out of all these different skins, and then the different panels of cloth that were around, that comprised the temple, the tabernacle. And then there was a lot of them that took care of the priest's clothing and the all the different people that officiated as in the priesthood. So there's different jobs for everybody. And if you dare, if any of the laity, people that were not part of the clergy, would even come near that tabernacle, they were to be executed immediately. So people that you're just laity, don't overstep your bounds, because the Lord wants you to know this. All the example is set here in the scriptures, all right? And I'll be reading about that later. We'll be doing a message just on that, okay? So, you know, keep your place. I know everybody thinks they're wonderful, and they did too, but they were given specific jobs by the Lord, and they were told if they stepped outside of their responsibility, they'd be killed. God would kill them personally. Okay, let's go.
Verse 26. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. Verse 27, and whatsoever goeth upon his paws, among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even.
Right, so these were not like sins unto death, if you touch one of them, but you'd be unclean unto even, and there was a responsibility that you had to wash yourself and so on and so forth, all right? You understand?
Yes.
So right here it's telling even the Gentiles, you know, that they can eat that stuff, but don't blame God when you're dying at age 30 and 40 years old, because you see a lot of them dying at that age. And all the spread of leukemia and cancer and all sorts of other things. And it isn't only caused by eating the wrong things, because some people catch cancer when they're on perfect diets, but they don't do what the Lord says. And then the Lord gives them cancer or heart disease. And then if they don't have the cancer cut out, if they try to depend on health foods, that was a bad mistake that Sue and I made. We depended on health foods, and we were just praying to the Lord when the Lord wanted her to cut that out. And everyone that I've seen with cancer thus far, since then, I've told them, cut it out. And they lived. And there's several people in our church, such as Dennis Hagen. He came to me and asked me what he should do, just pray, or I says, no, the Lord has shown me to cut it out. Cut cancer out of your life. Cut cancer out of your body. Stop, don't sin, but cut cancer out. And he's still alive, and he's had several children since. How many children? Four?
Yeah.
Four children since that time. And they're in the ministry. All right, go ahead. And this is my advice to everybody that has cancer. Don't, if you've got it, there might be something in your life that the Lord gave it to you, and he wants you to cut it out and use a little bit of radiation and to stay away from just some people. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not recommending any of those things, but I'm just telling you what I have seen. And you know you can do what you want. All right, what else? And I'm not prescribing anything other than what I've seen work and what I've seen that didn't work. Susie should have had that cut out and she'd still be with us. Okay, then what else?
Verse 28. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. Verse 29. These also shall be unclean unto you. among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind.
So the rabbit is after the mouse's kind. Amen?
Amen.
And people eat squirrel. It's like a part of the weasel and so on, and they've got paws on them. You're not supposed to eat them. People just say, boy, that's a good thing when I get some squirrel meat, you know, out here. Just put it on a stick and just slowly, you know, turn it on the fire. Well, Bob and Connie, they said, well, it's a fine deal when they, a fine day when the squirrel comes their way. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 30. And the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. Translation, verse 24 through 30.
Can you imagine ordering a mole sandwich? And then what? I'm not going to say squirrel because a lot of people like that. So they could very well imagine eating that. Oh, yeah, it's a fine day when a squirrel comes their way, or a chipmunk. All right, go ahead.
Verse 24. The following creatures make you ceremonially unclean. If you touch any of their dead bodies, you will be defiled until evening.
So if even you touch them and you're defiled, how much more of an abomination is it to drop one of them down your neck? Amen?
Amen.
For groceries. Amen? Amen. To make them part of your grocery list. Like some of these people that I went to Houston, I saw in a supermarket one of these raccoons, you know, skinned, it looked like a big mouse. Or what is it that has that big long tail? Yeah, it was a possum. And I couldn't believe I was seeing it. I just wanted to run out of the store. It was so ugly looking. So I don't want to buy anything from the store. Okay, then what?
Verse 25. If you move the dead body of an unclean animal, you must immediately wash your clothes, and you will remain defiled until the evening. Verse 26. Any animal that has divided but unsplit hoofs or that does not chew the cud is unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. Verse 27. Of the animals that walk on all fours, those that have paws are unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. Verse 28. If you pick up and move its carcass, you must immediately wash your clothes, and you will remain defiled until evening.
And this is for all the pygmies out there, anything that has fingers on it too, okay? Because they like to eat human beings. They're like cannibals. All the cannibals out there, you're not supposed to eat humans. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 29. Of the small animals that scurry or creep on the ground, these are unclean for you. The mole, the mouse, the great lizard of all varieties, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the common lizard, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. King James Version, verse 31. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. Verse 32. And upon whatsoever any of them when they are dead doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So it shall be cleansed. Verse 33. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. Verse 34. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. Verse 35. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean. Whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean unto you. Verse 36. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit, wherein there is plenty of water, shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. Verse 37, and if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. Verse 38, but if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. Verse 39, and if any beast of which ye may eat die, he that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the even. Verse 40, and he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even.
The Lord says, now, you know, if they eat that which is convenient, you can pray over it, and if you've really got the faith, he'll make it clean. Okay, let's go into but you know, some of this stuff is, I just don't see how people could eat it. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm supposed to teach you that it's all right if you really pray, you know, got strong faith. All right, then what?
Translation, verse 31 through 40.
So go ahead, you people that, you know, you have that faith, eat the mice and rats and the rabbits then, okay?
Verse 31. All these small animals are unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. Verse 32. If such an animal dies and falls on something, that object, whatever its use, will be unclean. This is true whether the object is made of wood, cloth, leather, or sackcloth. It must be put into water, and it will remain defiled until evening. After that, it will be ceremonially clean and may be used again. Verse 33. If such an animal dies and falls into a clay pot, everything in the pot will be defiled, and the pot must be smashed. Verse 34. If the water used to cleanse an unclean object touches any food, all of that food will be defiled, and any beverage that is in such an unclean container will be defiled. Verse 35. Any object on which the dead body of such an animal falls will be defiled. If it is a clay oven or a cooking pot, it must be smashed to pieces. It has become defiled, and it will remain that way. Verse 36. However, if the dead body of such an animal falls into a spring or a cistern, the water will still be clean. But anyone who removes the dead body will be defiled. Verse 37. If the dead body falls on seed, grain to be planted in the field, the seed will still be considered clean. Verse 38. But if the seed is wet when the dead body falls on it, the seed will be defiled. Verse 39. If an animal that is permitted for eating dies and you touch its carcass, you will be defiled until evening. Verse 40. If you eat any of its meat or carry away its carcass, you must wash your clothes. Then you will remain defiled until evening. King James Version, verse 41. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Verse 42. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination.
Okay, everyone can testify that all during the day and all through the night, I never cough. But the devil, when I start bringing these messages, he just attacks me. And I can tell that the people of the church are not praying for me. Whenever you see a Billy Graham crusade or any other major person in the ministry, they always have people, a bunch of elders on the platform, praying for them. And all people that have been called into the ministry are to pray for those that are carrying the messages. And I can tell that the people in this church don't do that. It's like they always want to remain novices. And so I'm appealing to you people that I want you to pray for me when I'm bringing these messages and when I'm writing them, and pray to the Lord really hard and strong for me, because I am the one that's carrying the torch. And if you don't even care about carrying the torch yourself, or maybe you've not even been called to carry it, but you have been called to pray. The Bible even tells us to pray one for another. Amen?
Amen.
So from now on, do that, all right? Because it's getting worse and worse every day. I don't cough any time during the day. Or I don't ever have any trouble with my throat until I start bringing these messages on tape. Okay, so I can tell. And, you know, the Lord can tell, too. And you're going to be responsible. There's a responsibility that you have, and you're going to be held accountable if you don't do that. You're supposed to be part of a whole nation of priests, all right? If your job is not to run a church or to run all the different offices of the church, even the Levites didn't do that. They had different positions, and each of them, each different whom a part of those Levites had different responsibilities, and that was to carry different parts of those the tabernacle. And you're supposed to, and also they had different parts of those that officiated, and only Aaron and Moses could approach into the most holy place, and anyone that would ever even move close to the tabernacle would be put to death. But you people are all called to pray, and so you have to make sure that you fulfill your duty just as Moses did. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's continue on.
Verse 43. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby.
One of the reasons of the cough is because in the Texarkana area, there's a big paper plant here. And the doctors, all in this area, say that everybody suffers from some kind of allergy because of the paper plant. And then at this time of the year, there's all kinds of other things, debris in the air from all kinds of plants and trees and flowers and things like that. And so some people it doesn't affect, but there's like literally thousands of people out here that are affected by it, and I happen to be one. And so, you know, if you prayed, everything would be fine. So please do that. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 44, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with...
But wait a minute, I thought that people said that you can't be holy, and that you can't be perfect. Here's God saying it again. You know, he keeps saying this throughout the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
And these people, he does testify that they were doing everything that he said to do. And that's what holiness is. It isn't walking around in some kind of a state of mind, or like you with your eyeballs rolled back in your head, or, you know, walking delicately, or acting like a fruit or a fairy, all right? Or, you know, the tooth fairy, or whatever. But it's just doing everything the Lord says. And he says to pray without ceasing, and pray always. And if you don't do that, you're responsible. All right? You have to pray for what you're going to do, and what the Lord wants you to do, and what he doesn't want you to do. And he does say that you're supposed to be concerned about people that are ministering the Word of God to you. If you don't even care about the people that are ministering the Word of God to you, then you are worthless in the eyes of the Lord. And you're going to be accounted for it. It's all going on the account book. The Lord is an accountant. He has everything logged in that you're doing and all the things that you're supposed to do that you're not doing. All right? Okay, go ahead.
Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 45, For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
Yeah, so you have to be holy because he's holy. Yeah, he wants to live in you, and he wants to live in a holy place. So if you're not holy, he's not going to live in you. If he's not living in you by the Spirit, then the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is not in you, and he's not going to raise you up from the dead either on the last day. You're going to wind up in the pit of hell and in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 46, This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 47, To make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten.
Right, the Lord is saying he's not a Democrat, nor does he have a democratic church. It's a church that obeys him as dictator. So he's saying that you people are holy, you're different from the unholy people. You're clean, and you're different from the unclean people. And then even in the church itself, there's the laity, the people that are called to be part of the congregation, to pray and to do certain chores, to minister unto the one another as priests. And then there are some that are called to preach, some that are called to teach, some that are called to deal with the outside people in the world, and some that are they can't be at all near them because they don't have that, they don't have the anointing from the Lord to do that, and they don't even have the desire to keep theirs to pray for one another. And so it's impossible for them. They don't have the anointing to preach to people or teach them. And especially new, young Christians. They are novices. And the Lord said that he, through Paul, said, I suffer not a novice to teach or preach. I will not allow a newborn Christian to teach. Now, they can give their testimony, but they can't teach the Bible because they don't know the Bible yet. It takes years to know the Bible. And so they just have to patiently wait. Some people want to go immediately off to Mexico or over to the South America or to Africa or India and start teaching. Well, what would you teach them? You don't know the Bible. Well, I'll learn a certain amount every day. No, you have to know it all because the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to run into people that's going to ask you questions about something that you don't know. You can't teach it because you don't know it. You can't teach anything that you yourself don't know. You can't give something to somebody that you don't have yet. Now, if people come up to you and ask you for $100 and you don't have 10 cents in your pocket, you can't give it to them. And if you don't have the Word of God in you, you can't disperse it unto others. First, learn it. It's just like you have to go to the universities and so on and so forth, which I don't recommend at all, to get degrees. I'm not going to go into a person who says they're a lawyer and say, will you fight this case for me? And say, sure. Or do you have you, what university did you, oh, I didn't go to any university. Well, have you read these law books that you got on? Well, some of them. Well, do you think I'm going to trust that person in court to fight my case for me?
No.
I don't trust him anyway, but I mean, how much less somebody that hasn't been thoroughly educated? You have to, this is the most important thing in the world, is to be able to disperse the Word of God by the Spirit. And if you don't know it, God's not going to pull it up out of you because it's not in you in the first place. You have to be have that word, your computer. All of us have like minds that are computers and the spirits that are computers. And that, it has to be in you in order for God to pull it up out of you. Like somebody will say something to me and all of a sudden I can feel the Lord touching a button on the computer in there and here comes the right references that he wants me to tell these people. And if you're a newborn Christian, you haven't got that yet. You haven't studied yet. I've studied now for almost 40 years. And you're not going to have the same capability that I do. And not only that, I was called and chosen to do these things. You know, anybody that's around me, that's even remotely close to me, they know that I've been called to do this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Translation verse 41 through 47. Consider detestable any animal that scurries along the ground, such animals may never be eaten. Verse 42. This includes all animals that slither along on their bellies, as well as those with four legs and those with many feet. All such animals are to be considered detestable. Verse 43. Never defile yourselves by touching such animals. Verse 44. After all, I, the Lord, am your God. You must be holy, because I am holy. So do not defile yourselves by touching any of these animals that
scurry. You hear that? You must be holy to be in my kingdom with me. You must be holy, because I am holy. In other words, Jesus says, I want a bride, and I'm without sin, and my bride has to be without sin as well. Do you think I'm going to be married to a prostitute? No way. This is a holy God, and his bride, his church, must be holy. Must. Not should be, but must be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
So do not defile yourselves by touching any of these animals that scurry along the ground.
These are all representative, really, of don't be fellowshipping or with any of the people out in the world, with the exception of preaching the gospel to them or giving your testimony to them, okay? or teaching them. If the Lord has called you to teach, well, I don't know anything about it because there's so many people in the church that don't take care of baby Christians. You certainly can teach them what you've learned. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you're teaching them and they say, well, what about this? We don't know about this. And all you got to do, if you don't know, just say, well, I don't know that. Maybe I'm sure that the pastor has told us that before, but let me call him. And then call me and I'll answer the question for you. I don't feel inferior to where I couldn't answer the question for you. All right? All right, and you know, I'll answer it. Okay, go ahead. What else?
Verse 45. I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. You must therefore be holy, because I am holy.
Again, you must be holy. He didn't say you should be, did he?
No.
What does it say?
You must.
Yeah, must. What for? If I'm not, what then? What then? Well, read the rest of the Bible. I intend to read it all to you. If you're not holy, then you're unholy. And the Bible tells us where all unholy things are going. And it's not anything nice. Okay, then what else?
Verse 46. These are the instructions regarding the land animals, the birds, and all living things that move through the water or swarm over the earth. Verse 47, so you can distinguish between what is unclean and may not be eaten, and what is clean and may be eaten.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 11 of Leviticus, and now we have some commentary.
11, verse 1, foods permitted and forbidden. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. The Lord now speaks directly to both Moses and Aaron, following the ordination of Aaron into the priestly service. You see that also in chapter 13, verse 1, and 15, verse 1.
So, in other words, it says right there that he is ordained to be into priestly service. Well, we've been called into the service of the Lord. We're not just called to just be idle. I mean, there's responsibility that we have to do. Amen?
Amen.
One of them is taking up a cross. Another one is denying ourselves. Another one is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. One is to be obedient, keep all of his commandments. The other one is to go into the world and study the word to be a workman approved. So what does it say, workman, if you're not supposed to work? Amen?
Amen.
And so we all have to do that. Work, work, work until you find out and do the things that you know that you can do until the Lord maybe selects you for another, for an absolute purpose. Like, I just worked, 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 and then the Lord showed me, okay, now you've got to be the leader of this church. You're not going to lean on Susie anymore because I'm taking your crutch away from you. And so it's like a mother bird or a father bird kicking the little young one out of the nest. I was 17 years old in the Lord, and he kicks me out of the nest, and I either fly or go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the way it really is. If God allows birds to do that, then he certainly does it with us too. There's a responsibility and an accountability. Okay, so he called us into the work. So after he's ordained you, and you've got to learn everything. They didn't just take off and start doing whatever they wanted. The Lord showed them everything that they have to do in the sanctuary. He even showed them how to build the sanctuary. He even showed them, taught them. You have to be taught first. And then which ones are able to touch the ark and which ones are not able to touch it. And how the ark is supposed to be carried. How you're supposed to carry yourself in the Lord. And all the other details, very fine, 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 and very minute details that have to be followed to the letter in the spirit, though. Because we can't do it by the letter. It has to be done in the spirit. Okay, go ahead.
11, verse 2. Animals which you may eat. These restrictions of the community are paralleled in Deuteronomy 14, 3 through 21. The people are set apart in a holy relationship to the Lord, which requires a conscious awareness of the divine presence in daily living, including foods which are acceptable to be eaten.
So we have to be conscious of the Lord is living in our midst and in the midst of us, in us. Amen?
Amen.
If you forget that, well then of course you're going to be silly and just act crazy and not do what the Lord wants you to do. I mean, I could be talking to people and everything, and I look at the time and say, oh, I've got to get in and do a message. Amen?
Amen.
Or I have to go pray, or I have to do the tract. I can't. I have to cut everything away and just do what the Lord has told me to do, that I know that He wants me to do. And that's why the Lord is blessing me. And He's blessing this church, this congregation. All right, what else?
See verses 43 through 47. We can also see the notes on Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 3 through 21. You shall be holy, for I am holy. The Lord made the people recognize the difference between the sacred and the profane, or the unholy. They followed the instructions of God by living lives according to God's code of holiness. 11, verse 45. The Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. The salvation of the people from Egypt is considered a present reality. It is the same as being delivered today out of the hands of Satan, out of the prison house of Satan. He saved that generation in order that all generations of the people of Israel would recognize Him as their God and realize that they too were redeemed from the bondage of Egypt, or the devil, along with their mothers and fathers.
Yeah, but not to be idle. He calls us out of the world for a responsibility to Him for to win the world. Okay? And He says that we're accountable if we don't. Then what?
As a result, the people were to respond to God as the one God worthy of worship and service, who brings a new way of life and a right way of life, the only right way of life, thus connecting the response of the children of Israel to live a holy life with divine acts of salvation.
Now, what do we do with these preachers that say we can't be holy and we can't be perfect and no one is really? They're terrible. These people must go. They must go. They must drop out of the ministry. They're not in the ministry. They're false teachers, the teachers of Satan, of Satan's doctrine. Go ahead.
We can see that also in Exodus 6, verses 7 through 8, 29, verses 45 through 46. 11, verse 1 through 47. The elaborate dietary laws of this section illustrate the fact that God's relationship with His people extends to even the particular and practical areas of everyday living.
Right, we have to realize that He's in our midst. In us and around us, all over. So that way you'll remain conscious. And if you don't, well then pick up the Bible and start making Him, being aware of His presence. He's ever present. Then what?
God's relationship with His people extends to even the particular and practical areas of everyday living, for not only the health of our spirits, but the health of our bodies. While we are not bound by the specifics of these dietary standings, we know that we are the temple of God, and we know that God is just and is interested in the details of keeping us alive so that He can live and work in our bodies.
And through our bodies. And then what else?
If our eating or drinking leads to excess, or eating things that are not food, then we are running into abuse and poor health for the body, which is God's. God is interested in our bodies. He also holds us responsible, accountable, to deal with the problem area of keeping our body in good shape for the Lord.
So you're saying responsibility and accountability. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Personal holiness relates even to what some people consider the mundane areas of our lives. 11, verse 44. What does it mean to be holy? It doesn't mean just to have a pious look or attitude toward people, pretending to be pious before the Lord. The Hebrew word, quote, holy, unquote, literally means, quote, to be set apart, unquote, quote, to be separate, unquote, both unto God and from sin, or I might add, from sinful people and sinful things of this world. This chapter 11 emphasizes the aspect of being set apart unto God. These dietary laws and other guidelines for our daily living gave the Israelites a unique identity as God's people. God also calls all of His people, including us, to this very day, to a life of holiness, a life that clearly reflects God in us. We are to let God reflect His standards in and through us.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 11. We'll be doing chapter 12, Lord willing, this evening. think about these things all day, meditate on them, think about God, think about who you are, know who you are, you're looking into the mirror, the Word of God, and don't go away from this, and then be somebody that the mirror showed you that you are, other than what the mirror shows you that you are. You know by looking into the mirror of the Word of God what your responsibility is, and you know also that by reading it, you shows that you're accountable. And if you don't do it, then it shows that you don't believe the Word of God, because nobody wants to go to hell. And don't be forgetful here, but be a doer of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. Think about this all day, His Word all day long. And just simply do what He says to do until chapter 12. God bless you, and praise the Lord.